Welcome everyone to this episode of Voices of Women Physicians podcast. And I'm so happy to have here today with us Dr. Katrin Thumer. She will be with us for two episodes. We will discuss today about important topic, imposter syndrome, and how to overcome it. And in next episode, we're going to talk about other very important topic, weight loss. Stay with us. Welcome, Dr. Thumer. Thank you so much for joining me here today.
Thank you for having me.
Please tell us a little bit about yourself, about what you do.
Well, I am a family physician, and I am the founder of Total Weight Care Institute, which is a house of two things. Well, it will be three eventually, but one is for patients who are trying to lose weight and maximize their health and wellness through weight loss. And the other is for physicians who want to add comprehensive and compassionate, successful weight health programs to their practice or as their practice. And both of them are based around a program I created, one in my business and the other as my business, which were related to my weight loss, which is I've lost over 100 pounds starting 20 years ago. And with the advent of different treatments, and I've maximized that. And so now I teach other people how to do the same.
It is wonderful. And it's really a lot. It's great and very important. So let's talk about the imposter syndrome. You had a TED talk about this, right?
Yes, I do.
So tell us a little more.
Well, the reason I did a TED talk on imposter syndrome was because with the advent of the internet and coaching and all the rest, I kept getting these messages that I have imposter syndrome and that I could get helped with it. And so I didn't even know what imposter syndrome was. And so I started studying it. Because I thought, well, maybe it's something that I have and I don't even know. So I started studying it. And over the years, I realized it's not real. It's a self-imposed description, especially since early on when it was first created, that was coined, it was imposter phenomenon. And it was based off of two psychologists who created the term based on how society treated successful and high achieving women. And that it created this feeling in those women that somehow they didn't deserve their achievements. And so it was supposed to be an indictment on society, not the individual. And then over time, it morphed into becoming this syndrome, which basically put the focus on the individual as the individual having the problem and not society having the problem. And generally, it's people who are marginalized in any way, who are essentially internalizing stereotypes and prejudice. And that is how it comes about, but always in someone who's a high achiever. And that's why I say it's not real.
Yes, it's always high achievers. It's true. I'm familiar with imposter syndrome because I'm a life coach. But for some of our listeners who are not familiar, if you can tell a little bit what exactly imposter syndrome is.
So imposter syndrome is feeling like a fraud or feeling like an imposter when in a particular space based on your accomplishments that somehow you've gotten to where you are by luck. Or by happenstance, not by skill, not by your own education or any other reason that you've attributed to. It's always based on external factors. And therefore, what you have, where you are, is not because of your own merit. And so imposter syndrome is the feeling that nothing you have is from your own knowledge and education and expertise, that it's external. And the reason my TED Talk title was actually Imposter Syndrome by Any Other Name is Bravery. And the reason I say that is because in order for anyone to have what is coined imposter syndrome, they had to have fought through their fears and their insecurities to get to where they are. And that the only way that they can have what is normally feelings of change, feelings of growth, feelings of being in a new place, feelings of wanting to protect yourself and your intellectual and your emotional self, that in order to get there, you have to be a high achiever. You have to have worked through those feelings. You had to work in spite of those feelings. And in no other time in life do we tell people who've done things in fear and still achieved, even in fear, that they're an imposter. We don't. We call them brave. That's what we call soldiers in battle. That's what we call children who go to school for the first time when they're walking through the door and they're scared. So you say, oh, look how brave you are. No one ever calls it anything other than bravery. And so that's what we should say to ourselves, because imposter syndrome is self-imposed. And if we stop telling ourselves we have it, then we don't have it.
And I really love this name of your text talk. It's actually bravery. It's for real. And what would you recommend for people to overcome it? How to stop it? Or how to have it less bothersome for them?
Be very, very careful of what you say to yourself. Be kind to yourself. We will say things to ourselves that we would never say to someone else. We're meaner to ourselves than we are to other people. We need to be kind. What we tell ourselves, we believe, we listen to what we say. So say the opposite. I'm beautiful. I'm smart. I deserve this. I worked hard. I got this job because I'm good at the work that needs to be done. And so all of those things start with our self voice, our inner voice, and being very, very careful. And so one of the ways to do that is one with practice. It takes practice. It's a muscle. It has to be built. The other is gratitude journaling helps. If you spend the end of the day writing down all the things that you're grateful for, pick a number, 10, 20, whatever, at the end of the day, then you start looking for those things throughout the day. And as you're looking for those things throughout the day, you are in those things as well. So those feelings get transferred back to yourself. And that's really a very powerful mechanism of overcoming imposter syndrome, because it just changes your view of yourself and what you say to yourself and how you say it.
This is actually really helpful. In fact, I recommend to many of my clients who suffer from imposter syndrome to start the day with telling three things which you're grateful for, which is not you outside of you. Like, I'm grateful that sky is blue, it's no rain today, it's nice weather. And three things what you are grateful for you. I'm grateful that I woke up on time. I wanted to sleep so much, but I still woke up on time. I went to work. Anything, small things, but it works. It's amazing.
It does. And just getting in a mirror, looking yourself right in the eye and just practicing saying nice things, smiling at yourself, telling yourself you're beautiful, telling yourself, it just really does work. But it feels awkward at first. But if you do it every single day, it becomes a habit and you absorb that habit. You absorb the feelings from that habit. And so that's always very, very helpful. It just simply works. And we know it works.
Yes, it works. And interestingly, how common it is, especially in high achieving women, the more you achieve, the more chance actually that at some point we'll experience a lot of this. It's true.
And it's not even that we'll experience it. We'll experience the normal feelings of growth. We'll feel the normal experience of being nervous in a new situation. But what we do, though, is we mislabel it as imposter syndrome when really it's just normal.
Yes.
It's absolutely normal. As you grow into new things, you're supposed to feel a little uneasy at times. If you only did things you knew how to do and you only went to places you were comfortable, you'd never grow. And so the only way you can feel what people deem imposter syndrome is through growth. And that should be the focus. You're growing.
Yes. What three tips would you give to women or to men, to anybody who are experiencing imposter syndrome?
So what advice I would give them is, first, just recognize it's just not real. And the thing is, it stops when you stop telling yourself you have it. You cannot have imposter syndrome if you don't tell yourself you have imposter syndrome. And it's that simple. It seems simple, but it just really takes practice. But just stop saying it. Stop using the term. Stop telling people they have it. Stop using it as a reason for anything, as a description for anything. That's the first step. Just stop saying you have it.
Sometimes people experience this feeling, they not always even know the name imposter syndrome or how to label it, but they're experiencing this feeling like, oh, I don't belong.
But you don't have to label it. That's the thing. So what if you feel like you don't belong? Who cares? You do belong. Otherwise, you wouldn't be there. I've actually had people say, well, how do you feel when you're in an all-male room? And I'm like, if I'm in that room, it's not an all-male room because I'm there.
It's true.
If I'm in a room, I belong in that room. And if I'm in that room, the description of that room changes.
Yes.
And so that's really just recognizing your self-worth and knowing that you are allowed to take up space in this world. And often the way we get to those spaces is because of our work. It's because of our achievements. It's because of the things we've done. And we should celebrate ourselves for those things.
It's so true.
Instead of listening to the voices of other people saying, oh, you shouldn't really be there, or this is a space for, I'm a Black woman. I went to med school. I was told that I got into med school because of my skin color. And I laughed. I was like, okay, well, I wish I knew all I had to do was rub my skin against a test to pass it, because that's not true. I mean, the ridiculousness of some of the comments that people make, and we all hear it. People here for different reasons, depending on what it is they're trying to achieve or what they have achieved. And so women was coined based on studying women and then any marginalized group. And so you hear it being thrown around by men, by women in many different situations, and it's not real.
What else helps from your experience?
What helps is doing things that help build your confidence, doing things that are independent of other people to build your confidence, taking classes, getting coaching, things that are yours and yours alone that nobody can touch and no one can tell you you're good or you're not good at it because you're measuring it based on your own view of what you're doing. So exercise is a wonderful example. And then measuring how much stronger you're getting. It's a physical strength that will transfer to an emotional strength. Learning how to draw, learning an instrument, joining groups with like-minded people so that you can share and support one another. It's uplifting. Anything that lifts you up in any sort of way, that's always beneficial. Anything that helps you develop as a human being and makes you feel better about yourself, that's going to help with what is termed imposter syndrome. Because there's no such thing.
I love it. And if you could tell us a little bit more about what you do, about your program.
Okay. So what my program is, the one I have for patients essentially is what I do. I investigate the reasons that people gain weight. Weight is a symptom. It is not a diagnosis. And so I look for the reasons, and there's always a biopsychosocial reason. And I look for those biopsychosocial reasons, and then I go after the cause and I help people find the cause and then in a way that they can maintain. It can't be too extreme. Whatever they do now, they have to be able to do when they're 90. Otherwise, they'll lose the progress they've made. They'll lose all the good that's being done by what they're doing. And so it has to be reasonable, intuitive, small increments in a way that makes sense and a way that doesn't overwhelm the person. And also the most important thing is that whatever people do, it has to not disrupt their family life, not disrupt their work life, make it easy for it to fit into their life. Many times with programs, people try to fit themselves into the program instead of the program fitting into their life. And so what I do is I create programs to help it fit so that it makes sense for someone biologically, it makes sense for them psychologically, and it makes sense for them socially. And when you do that, it becomes very easy and very sustainable and almost too easy, actually. I've had people say, I don't think anything's happening. And I was like, well, how are your clothes fit? How are you sleeping? How much energy do you have? And it's always, we measure everything based on a number on a scale when there's so many other ways of measuring success in a weight loss process because not all the weight is in pounds. Sometimes it's just whatever in life is weighing you down. And so if you lose that, that's good weight loss.
Oh, yes. It's important. Thank you so much. And how can our listeners connect with you?
So the way that people connect with me is through my website, drtoomer.com. That's drtoomer.com. And any questions you have, if you're a patient and you want to work with me, if you're someone who has retreats or conferences and you want to hear me speak, I'd love to talk, as you can tell. And I also work with clinicians to help them with comprehensive and compassionate weight health. And the reason I've done that is because I was shamed very badly when I had obesity and I could not find anyone to help me. So I ended up creating my own program, but I still hear that same stuff. I go to my doctor, I'm hurting and I'm told lose weight. Well, what about my pain? And so being able to help people in a way so that they feel freer, where they don't feel ashamed, where they feel like they're in a safe space is really important. So I help clinicians do that. And really the best way to find me is on Facebook, my website. I'm on YouTube. I'm on TikTok. If you put in Dr. Toomer, you'll more than likely find me because there are very few of us. I think there's only 4 Dr. Toomers in the country.
It's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing this. And in our next episode, we will talk in more details about your journey, how you lost 100 pounds, and what exactly your system is for helping people to lose weight now. So our listeners, please join us for next episode as well.